I'd like now to introduce Simon Chin. He is the producer of the film Searching for Sugar Man, which opens at the CCA here in Santa Fe tonight. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Sugar Man, that is the name given to a recording artist named Rodriguez, who was virtually unknown in the United States, but a huge sensation in South Africa in the 1970s. The way people who knew him described him in this film, it's just a wonderful documentary. He was a poet and a prophet and a wise man and a brilliant songwriter, and you listen to the music throughout the film, and he had a terrific voice and an amazing presence. Why was he not a superstar here in the United States?
I mean, it's a question that sort of confounds sort of everyone who sees the film, because, as you say, the music is just so great and soulful, and the lyrics are so sort of deep and poetic. So, in fact, the two producers who discovered him were pretty big producers, Dennis Coffey and Mike Theodore, who had produced a lot of artists for Motown, and they discovered him in a dive bar basically in Detroit, playing one of his songs with his back turned to the audience. He was a sort of shy performer, but they were just so struck by the music that they literally thought they'd discovered the next Dylan, and you know, the people that they worked with seemed to agree, and they signed him and they recorded his album, his first album, thinking that it was going to be huge. But strangely, it did nothing. And in the film, they talk about why that might be. I mean, I guess, you know, perhaps Rodriguez was ahead of his time. Perhaps American audiences back in the early 70s weren't ready for an artist called Rodriguez who wasn't prepared to change his name to something a little bit more, I guess, American. I mean, he was playing music that was sort of in the kind of folk tradition, and yet he was called Rodriguez. Perhaps audiences expected him to be a sort of mariachi singer or something. I'm not really sure, and I think no one else is. But it's sort of great that he sort of seems to have found his audience later.
And he found his audience in South Africa, where he became a huge part of South African society, and in particular the anti-apartheid movement. What was it about his music that really caught on there, do you think?
Well, I think the key to his sort of success in South Africa, and basically what happened was, I think somehow or other, a bootleg of one of his first two albums, both of which were huge commercial failures in the U.S. back in the early 70s, a bootleg of one of these albums, or maybe both, found their way somehow into South Africa in the 70s, you know, at the height of apartheid. It was a very closed society. And, you know, the recordings sort of somehow did the rounds and found their way, and particularly resonated with white South Africans, a lot of whom were sort of fighting against the various sort of liberation movements in the army. I think conscription in South Africa back then, and so Rodriguez's music was much like, I guess, you know, Hendrix and the Doors for the troops, the white troops who were fighting on the front, but not quite sure what they were fighting for, and growing perhaps increasingly dissatisfied with apartheid. So that was the thing. Rodriguez kind of resonated with liberal white South Africans and became, you know, his music. And what was it that connected his music to those people? I guess, you know, they weren't hearing that stuff anywhere in South Africa. South Africa was, you know, censorship was you know, in operation. They, you know, and you know, Rodriguez's lyrics, I guess, they were sort of the lyrics of social justice on the, you know, in urban America, just, you know, resonated with them at that time.
Yeah.
And over the next 20 years, his music became a phenomenon in South Africa. Various labels actually released his albums, and he became, his, you know, the albums became, you know, he became bigger than the Beatles, bigger than the Rolling Stones in South Africa alone.
And the amazing thing about that is that he didn't even know. He didn't know that he was a star in South Africa. He didn't see a penny of the money from royalties, and he was just back in Detroit doing house demolition.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you've kind of given the game away, really. I mean, the film sort of reveals that actually the film becomes a story about these two South African fans, one of whom was a record store owner, the other of whom was a music journalist, who both kind of get together and set about trying to find out, you know, what happened to their hero. They knew nothing about him. In fact, all they thought they knew was that he had killed himself on stage. There were many rumors about what had happened to Rodriguez, and the kind of most sort of outlandish of which was that he actually set fire to himself on stage, you know, in a kind of fit of whatever, desperation, depression, you name it. And most South Africans, I think, believed that he was dead. So essentially they were, you know, that they set about this on this sort of detective trail to find out how he died. But what they found was, of course, was, as you sort of suggest, that he wasn't dead at all. He was alive and well, living in poverty, in a small house in Detroit since that moment where we start the film in the late 60s, where everyone has these expectations for him, but he's been living a life working construction, doing hard labor, and they find him and they tell him that he's massive in South Africa.
Amazing. I mean, you know, you say he's living in poverty, but his presence is so huge. I mean, I found the thing that I was most struck with watching this film was this extraordinary combination of artistic power and presence and the humility of an ordinary person. There's not a trace of greed or self-importance or any of that. It's quite humbling and it's very impressive.
Yeah. It is, and I think that's the thing about the film that has really sort of struck people. It's an amazing story, and you know, as a sort of the message of the story, I guess, for people, and what's it's a message of hope, is that anyone with talent, you know, if they just sort of pursue their talent with integrity, that maybe perhaps one day, you know, that their talent might be recognized. And that, you know, in a sense, it's kind of the very opposite of the sort of the culture that we're currently in, the culture of celebrity, the X Factor, American Idol, all those shows where, you know, the message, I guess, is, you know, we can make you rich and famous and successful immediately. Rodriguez seems, as you say, to kind of have no bitterness. I mean, you know, he carried on with his music quietly. You know, he had, he performed occasionally, but you know, he had a little period where he was interested in politics. He did a degree in philosophy, but he basically earned his money from working construction, and seems, you know, completely devoid of business, even though, you know, for 20 or more years, as he discovered, his music was selling in South Africa extremely well. I think 500,000 copies of his albums sold in South Africa, of which he received not a penny. And it's still a kind of abiding mystery what happened to the royalties. But kind of a part of the story of the film, because that's part of the story about how the two South African detectives, if you will, set about trying to find Rodriguez or to find out what had happened to him. So, Rodriguez, you know, today remains an extremely modest and humble man. You know, I spent quite a lot of time with him, and you know, everywhere we go, you know, he's finding new audiences. The limelight is sort of being shone on him, but he seems completely unwilling to sort of take the credit for himself. All he wants to do is deflect the credit, and it's such an unusual quality that in I guess especially in someone in a rock star.
Exactly. The film is called Searching for Sugar Man. It opens tonight at the CCA. We've been talking to Simon Chin, producer of this wonderful documentary. Thank you for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks a lot.
I'd like now to welcome to the program Kitty Sherlock and Mijan Tobias. They are from the Friends of the Library Board here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Now, our public libraries, of course, are very, very important centers for not only Santa Fe, but all of our municipalities in the entire state. There is a bond, a general obligation bond, Bond B, that concerns the libraries on the upcoming election. What's that all about?
Bond B, which you will find on the back of the ballot, way at the very end, the bonds are way at the very end of the back page.
As in, turn over your ballots,
right,
ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Thank you. Bond B will support the purchase of materials and equipment for all the libraries that are publicly funded. So that means public libraries, public school libraries, public college libraries, and public tribal libraries.
And these libraries, how are they doing right now? Are they in rough shape? Are they doing pretty well?
Well, that's just the thing. This is why Bond B is so important, especially right now. Library use has gone up tremendously in the past 5 years.
Which nobody expected with all those Kindles and all that stuff.
Exactly, exactly. However, I think part of the piece is that we have technology that's happening in the library. People can access the internet. Perhaps they don't have internet access at home. And so the funding for library staffing, materials, all of that has been significantly reduced. So right now, with Bond B, that's pretty much their only source of revenue coming in to finance the materials, the equipment, the staffing.
And so library use, I mean, there are so many people, as you say, who don't have access to the internet, and there are also so many people seeking jobs, and that's where they go to write those resumes, because you can't even submit a paper resume anymore, from what I've heard.
Mm-hmm, that's right. I have a wealth of statistics here, but one of them is about the use of the computers. Number of public access computer users just in Santa Fe over 1 year, last year, was 173,962 people.
Oh, my goodness.
In the public library.
That means some of them went more than once.
Oh, yes.
Considering them.
Yeah, usually they get an hour, you know, for... But that it's for statewide, it's almost 2 million who have come to public libraries.
But here's the thing, Mary Charlotte. It's not an either or, books or digital resources. It's both.
Right.
It's both. And so this funding is for both.
Now, books, of course, haven't gone anywhere. People still read them. They still carry them around. They still check them out of the library, especially the older books that aren't necessarily even getting digitized.
Exactly.
And picture books and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what is your interest in the library, both of you?
Mine is as a parent, to tell you the truth. My grandmother was a librarian in Chicago, and I've been one of those hardcore families that brings the kids to the library 2-3 times a week, geeking out for sure. And at the same time, that's where I know that my children are safe, that we have access to a ton of picture books. I don't have to purchase all of them. There are, of course, our semi-annual sales where when I do want to buy a bunch of books, we can for a dollar or so. Mm-hmm. And programming, children's programming is such a vibrant part of the library system here in Santa Fe. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the bigger pieces of why I even volunteer on the board. I want to see that continue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel that way, too, that... especially on literacy, you know, now we have a pressure, as you know, and we've heard a lot in politics, of getting all kids literate, able to read by third grade. That's a tremendous pressure on the schools and the kids.
And which seems, I still don't get it. where I went to school, every single human being in the entire school system learned to read by the end of the first grade.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've worked in some schools where even fourth graders had problems, you know. So, and those are the kids who actually, if you go and look at the statistics on prisons in Santa Fe, reading is the number one problem of all those prisoners. It's like 65% cannot read who are in jail. So I see it as big time for kids and teenagers and then the whole rest of the community also. We usually have our English as a Second Language programs taught in the libraries, here in the public libraries in Santa Fe. So it's very valuable for parents and children.
Now, library bonds tend to pass historically mm-hmm. here, and
that's right.
It's just important to go out and vote. And if you believe in libraries, believe in books, learning, literacy, and all those kinds of things, vote for the library bond.
That's right. And this year, the bond is requesting $9.83 million. That will fund those four kinds of libraries. And the breakdown is $3 million for school libraries, $3 million for public libraries, $3 million for public college, and $700,000 for tribal libraries. And the tribal libraries are like public libraries, but they also are really focused on preserving language and culture.
Very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if this passes, how much is it going to cost taxpayers, homeowners?
It will be a property tax. The bond will be paid for through property taxes. It will cost 56 cents for every $100,000 worth of property. So, and that will be over 10 years, 56 cents a year.
56 cents a year for every $100,000. So if you own a beautiful, big, huge luxury home, it's a couple of bucks a year.
Right, exactly.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Bond B on the ballot this year. For those of you who have not voted but just registered to vote, go out and make it a great year.
That's right.
Voting for the first time. For those of you who vote every year, don't forget to vote. Early voting has already started.
That's right.
So,
and there's one more little thing we thought we'd add.
Yes.
If you want more information about the Friends of the Library, we'd love you to come on over anytime we have a book sale. And also you can check us out online, www.santafelibraryfriends.org.
Well, I want to thank you both very much, Kitty Sherlock and Mijan Tobias, Friends of the Library Board. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you.
I'm very happy now to welcome Nancy Phillips. She's the Development Director of La Familia Medical Center. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
So what's La Familia all about?
Well, it is the largest family practice in Santa Fe County. It is a federally qualified health center, which is an official designation, which means we see people who have needs for medical care, health care, dental care, and we see all patients. So no one's turned away for lack of ability to pay, which is what a FQHC really means.
FQHC?
Federally Qualified Health Center, yeah. And so what we've been serving Santa Fe for 40 years, and so we're celebrating the service itself and welcoming all of our everyone in the community, everybody who, all your listeners, everyone who can hear to see our main site, which is 1035 Alto Street. It was built, opened in 95. It was built by the city.
A wonderful place.
It is a wonderful place. And we have a beautiful clinic, and we've opened a new section of it, which used to house our dental care and now houses increased medical space, medical exam space, which we needed to meet the demand. And so what, in celebration of 40 years and the quality of care that we've been providing, we're asking all our donors and neighbors and so forth to come and see the space. And we have a very lovely art collection, which we're inviting people to come and enjoy. And a number of the artists who did the pieces will be there. And we're going to have food and drink and raffle prizes and door prizes. And it's just a way to thank the people who've supported La Familia over these many years.
And so this is on Saturday, the 13th of October, from 2 to 5:30 at La Familia Medical Center at 1035 Alto Street. Now, this is a place that, as you said, opens its doors to everybody. And, I mean, I've been there a number of times, and I've driven people there who didn't have cars to get there. And, I mean, it's an extraordinary place because you get so much done. Is the demand going up in this time of our sort of transitioning and somewhat broken healthcare system?
Yes, the demand is substantial, and what it's all about is people losing their health insurance in many cases. You know, a lot of local people, artists, part-time workers, people who work in the hospitality industry, their employers, whether it's themselves or others, cannot afford to pay for their health insurance. And so at La Familia, we have a sliding scale. You can qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, or you can have private insurance. I mean, our doctors will be there for you. So access has been an issue. Getting people in has been an issue. And so that's why we're celebrating this expanded space. And a year ago, we hired 3 new physicians and a new dentist. So we're making progress on that score. And we're very happy to be able to announce that and be able to tell people that, you know, we're there for everyone.
Are most of your patients people who don't have health insurance, or do you also have insured people?
We have everything. But most are uninsured, and most are low income. But the doctors are interested in family care, which means they really come to our center because they want to provide care for all people, seniors to infants to newborns. And we deliver about 40% of the babies that are born in Santa Fe County every year.
Now, so when, for example, babies are born, are they born at the clinic or at the hospital?
No, we deliver the babies at the hospital.
And so somebody doesn't have health insurance, they go to La Familia. How is that bill paid with the hospital?
Well, if they qualify for Medicaid, they would be billed on Medicaid. And if they don't, and if they don't have private and health insurance, I think they come to terms with the hospital. They come up with a payment plan with the hospital. I don't know whether the hospital has a sliding scale. I'm guessing they have some sort of a sliding scale or some sort of provision for that. But one of the main reasons the hospital supports La Familia is because a lot of people who come to La Familia, if we weren't there, they'd be in the emergency room.
Exactly.
So we see about 260 patients a day. The hospital sees about 135 at the emergency room.
So you're basically, whether they know it or not, taking a huge burden off our one local hospital.
Yes, and they do know it. They do know it. So we take that responsibility very seriously, that the hospital, the emergency room, should not be used for primary care, just for, you know, emergencies, as the name implies.
Now, do people, your population, primarily low-income people without insurance, do a lot of them go to their annual checkup and bring their kids to their annual checkups and things like that?
As much as we can get them to, sure. I mean, one of the things we often have problems with is people having transportation. I mean, you referred to driving people to the clinic, and that often happens, that people want to come but they can't get there. So we do have a problem with that always, you know, trying to meet the needs of the people to make their appointments and provide them with appointments and then make sure that they know about them so that they can plan ahead. So it's a population that struggles with a lot of issues in their lives. So we're certainly aware of the fact that they do struggle and they have, you know, a lot of challenges.
When somebody has, for example, an emergency toothache, we
don't
all
go to
know
the emergency room.
No, you can't go to the emergency room. Can they come to you?
We have 2 mornings a week where you go to the dental clinic, which is now out at the community college, and it's a drop-in. So you have to wait your turn. But it's designed specifically for people who have an urgent need and who have a toothache or something like that. So you do, they're not appointments per se. We just are there and they come and they have to sit and wait, but they will be seen.
So we're talking about La Familia Medical Center, and once again, the open house is this Saturday from 2 to 5:30, and everybody's welcome.
Everybody's welcome. And I want to make a shout-out to our primary sponsors, X-Ray Associates of New Mexico and LANB and U.S. Bank. Daniels Insurance helped us, and Tricor Labs and Hutton Broadcasting and Summit and Allegra. So those are all people that we really want to express our appreciation to.
And we want to express our appreciation to you for participating in this incredibly important resource here in Santa Fe.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your letting me come and talk about it.
And for more information, people can go to lafamiliasf.org. Nancy Phillips of La Familia Medical Center, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
And I'd like to welcome Rob DeWalt. He's with the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us many, many Fridays speaking of the arts. How are you?
I'm good. I'm enjoying the weather. the rain, yeah, which we need. I hope it rains all day.
I hope it does, too.
Yeah.
Did you awake this morning to a clap of thunder?
I was actually brushing my teeth in the bathroom in my new house, and I saw this strange flash of light out of the corner of my eye, and I thought, okay, this is it. I'm having a stroke. But no, it was just lightning. And then the thunder clapped, and then, of course, the dogs were right there all, hey, what you doing? Come here. So, it's supposed to stay a little cooler today, and it's windy, though.
It's windy and rainy, and my little dog, Honey, I was sleeping when that first thunder came, and a little dog started trembling in my arms.
Yeah, it was an interesting morning. Watched the debates last night, had nightmares, and then woke up to thunder, so that's good.
I had nightmares even without watching the debates.
Awesome.
Were they really good?
They weren't like, I love nightmares.
You know, if I were to tell you, it might invite a level of psychoanalysis from the listeners that we don't want to get into.
Okay. We'll have lunch. We'll talk about it.
So what's happening this weekend and this coming week?
Well, all kinds of stuff. Of course, the big one is this week is the beginning of the 4th Santa Fe Independent Film Festival.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Which is spread out all over town. I believe they're doing screenings at the Screen, the Lensic, Warehouse 21, and CCA this year. So.
All wonderful places to screen films.
There's a nice spread in the Pasta Tiempo today. Of course, Bless Me Ultima, the film, got the cover.
Yay.
It's a beautiful picture.
Is it a good film? I haven't seen it.
Yes, it is. I'm going to go to the red carpet premiere.
Because it's one of the best books ever, and then you never know whether the film does it justice.
Yeah, I actually haven't read it since I was in the ninth grade, but it was required reading at Santa Fe Prep back in the day.
That's good. It should be required reading everywhere in New Mexico.
Yeah. But Jennifer Levin did a great interview with Judy Blume and her son Lawrence Blume.
Cool.
Did sort of a conference call in advance of the screening of her film, which was filmed here. Well, it's Lawrence's film, but it's based on a book of hers called Tiger Eyes. It was written back in 81. And it's sort of semi-autobiographical. But there's tons and tons of films and tons of parties and tons of panels. And, all I can say is that there's too much to talk about, but there was plenty to write about. And so,
which is why, ladies and gentlemen, if you have never before picked up the Pasta Tiempo, make today your first day.
Today should be the first day. It runs, the festival runs Wednesday the 17th through next week, through Sunday the 21st. And if you go to, santafeiff.com.
All right.
Then that's got the schedules. It's got ways to purchase day passes, all festival passes. The whole nine yards.
And they get some terrific films. And I'm glad last year they overlapped with the Santa Fe Film Festival.
Yes.
Which this year is in December. And I'm so glad they're separated out now because it was too much. It was kind of overwhelming and people were getting them mixed up.
And we actually had to double up coverage last year in the same issue because of it. But this year they're separated. And you know, the Independent Film Festival has a new programmer this year. Her name is Lauren. And she goes to all the festivals. She writes for Filmmaker Magazine. She's got a really keen curator's eye when it comes to film.
That's so great.
So, we could go on and on, but it's better to just pick up the pasta and read about it.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, pick up the pasta and good job.
Yes.
You and all your
And all
colleagues.
Of our folks that helped out with that. Thank you.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, girl.
Well, today.
Is it Kitty Cat Day?
Yeah, and I can't believe I missed this. Jimmy Santiago Baca is reading from his new book of poetry, The Lucia Poems. And he is a native New Mexican. He's been awarded the Pushcart Prize, many other prizes. He's a wonderful writer. He wrote a book of poetry about his son, about and for his son. And now he's written one about his daughter, which I have sitting on my table at home, ready to interview him. And I didn't do it. And I feel very bad. But it's a wonderful event. You should go today at 6 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore. And then on Sunday, New Mexico State Congressman Brian Egolf speaks about policy issues in local, regional, and national elections presented by Journey Santa Fe. And by the way, voting is underway. Early voting is underway, and my mom has already... No, who is it? I talked to somebody yesterday who's already voted. A lot of people have already voted. You can do it up through Election Day. Sunday, October 14th at 3 o'clock, Elaine Pinkerton presents her new memoir, The Goodbye Baby, A Diary About Adoption. That's at 3 o'clock. And on Monday, October 15th at 6 o'clock, local architect Bart Kaltenbach presents his new book, Sun, Sticks, and Mud, 1,000 Years of Earth Building in the Desert Southwest. And he appears alongside co-author Barbara Anschel and photographer Steve Fitch. Wednesday, October 17th at 10:45, Children's Storytime. And Wednesday, October 17th, also at 6 in the evening, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and novelist John Sanford talks about his newest detective adventure, Mad River. And Thursday, October 18th, 10:45, another Children's Story Time. And in the evening at 6 o'clock, Anne Lacey and Anne Valley Fox present the newest editions of their oral histories, the New Mexico Federal Writers Project book series. And that documents the stories from the Southwest collected by Depression-era Federal Writers Project.
That's a mouthful.
That's a lot of things happening at the fabulous Collected Works bookstore.
Yeah, there's a lot happening there. Hey, there's a picture of you in Positiempo today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And I'll just mention it real quick because we don't want to embarrass you.
Oh, go ahead. But try me.
But the Mayor's Awards for Excellence in the Arts this year, the recipients include dancer Emmy Grimm.
Who's fabulous.
Fabulous. We profiled her last year in our New Year's issue as an up-and-comer in Santa Fe who is having a very great impact on the world of dance.
She dances with Antonio Granjero and Maria Benitez.
Yes.
And
she studied with a bunch of people, but now she's not only dancing, but she's teaching and doing a wonderful job.
And she got the Youth Award.
Yes. She got the Youth Award this year. There's artist Susan Contreras, who's
fabulous.
We all love.
Yep.
If anyone who's only slightly familiar with Susan's work, it's not all about people in masks. She used to do a lot of landscapes. She used to do a lot of portraits without masks. What else? Oh, we have Santa Fe Performing Arts, who's been around since 1988.
To be redundant, but they're fabulous.
They're fabulous.
They do so much for the city and for young people.
They do so much for the city and young people, and they do a lot of collaborative work. They have something coming up next week with Meow Wolf, a showcase series called Bingo, which will be at Armory for the Arts Theater. We have painter Jerry West, who is awesome.
Who's awesome, and the depth of his knowledge about Santa Fe is second to none.
Yeah, I mean he's basically the he's the internal psyche tour guide of Santa Fe. And then we have what's this? We have someone named Mary Charlotte.
That would be I.
Who is receiving an award? She is the first radio person to receive a Mayor's Award for Excellence in the Arts.
Yay.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yay, radio.
Yay, radio.
They always give one of the awards, they give three or four, whatever, to people who are artists of one kind or another, musicians, painters, performing artists, whatever. And then they always give one to somebody who plays a supportive role in the arts. And this year, they decided that, you know, what you and I do.
Yeah.
Is supportive, and all the creative people that I interview and that we feature here on the show. So thank you, city. Thank you, Santa Fe.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that we don't appreciate the donors for the arts. And sometimes... Who are often recognized in this lineup. But this year it's Mary Charlotte. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And on that note, at 6:30 p.m. Thursday the 18th, in Sweeney Ballroom, there's going to be a dinner and presentation.
Yep.
Right? And I believe La Fonda Hotel is catering the event. You invited me to go and I can't.
I know.
It's very sad.
Anybody can go, though. They can kind of Google it and you find the invitation and you pay and you can get chicken or vegetarian. And I went last year because Dorothy Massey got the same thing. Of the proprietor of Collected Works Bookstore got the same thing that I am getting this year, and Carol Anthony, who's a wonderful painter, and they're both friends of mine, and so I went last year expecting it to be a big to-do, blah, 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 blah. And it was really good. It was very interesting. They made videos about each person, and they were very personal, and I learned things about all these people, and I felt that I was part of this wonderful community. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice event.
It is a nice event. It's unfortunately, it falls on the same night as the red carpet screening of Bless Me Ultima, which I'm taking my mother to.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm not going to be able to make it, but congratulations, girl.
It also falls on the same night as a living wage event.
Oh.
Which I will get to in a moment as soon as I find it.
Okay, while you're talking about that, I should talk about Dan Deacon, who's a great...
Dan Deacon? I love Dan Deacon.
Dan Deacon is coming to Santa Fe. He's playing at Molly's Kitchen, girl.
No way.
Yes, and I saw a couple of bands there that Meow Wolf brought recently. And this is sort of their second real sort of big show there.
When is it?
It is Tuesday, October 16th at Molly's Kitchen and Lounge. At 8 p.m. And tickets are available at the Lenzic, my friends.
Oh, my goodness.
That's 988-1234.
And Dan, if you, ladies and gentlemen, once this program is over, go to your computer, go to YouTube, and search on Drinking Out of Cups.
Yes. Yes.
I leave it at that.
Leave it at that.
And then watch it three times.
Right. And then when you're done with that, Google some of his performances, orchestral performances, collaborations at Carnegie Hall. The guy's a genius.
He's a weird genius.
Yeah, he's a weird genius.
I can't believe he's coming to Santa Fe. Somewhere in San Francisco, a friend of mine was in a parade, and she was on the Drinking Out of Cups float.
Really?
Yeah.
They had a whole float for that?
Yeah, which is crazy because it's an exercise in surrealism. I think the guy took way too much Benadryl or NyQuil or something and watched TV with the sound off and channel flipped and narrated out loud. And that was the soundtrack to Drinking Out of Cups. And then he put these weird sort of images on top of it. But that's the source of many phrases like, not my chair, not my problem.
Yeah. We could go on and on.
We could. Dan Deacon.
About Mr. Dan Deacon.
I'm so excited.
On the music tip, this is going to be fun. Local art rock trio Pitch and Bark is going to be playing on Saturday, October 13th at High Mayhem. And they're going to be playing with Boston post-punkers Grass is Green. Now, Pitch and Bark released an album in August called Nowhere Near Ohio. And it's really just like an EP, but it's fantastic. And Grass is Green is a huge deal in Boston and parts of the East Coast in terms of the post-punk movement. And so they're both going to be playing at High Mayhem, at 8 p.m. Saturday, October 13th. And there was another band that was supposed to play called Gynormica, which is sort of a garage rock duo. But now it's this band called Albatross. And we don't know that much about them, but... it's a really low cover. It's an all-ages show, And if you show up and you pay to get in, you get a free download card for the Pitch and Bark album.
Nice.
But you can go to Bandcamp and listen to it anyway. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I had to get that in there.
Excellent. Now, also on Thursday, October 18th, from 7 to 8:30, there's a benefit for Working America at the Center for Progress and Justice at 1420 Cerrillos Road. Come and help support fair minimum wages for all workers in New Mexico. And New Mexico has an excellent, and Santa Fe in particular, has an excellent minimum wage law. It's one of the highest in the country. And amazingly enough, it hasn't put people out of work. It hasn't put businesses out of business. And so if you want to support that, go to workingamerica.org and RSVP and go to that event if you're not going to the Mayor's Awards or to Bless Me Ultima. There's so much going on that night.
And even if you don't support the living wage, it might be an eye-opener, you know? Maybe,
yeah.
I don't know, they could send someone from the Chamber of Commerce down. And
yeah, check it out.
Listen.
See what the other side is saying.
Yeah. Oh, hey, the International Mountain Bicycling Association's Biennial World Summit is happening here in Santa Fe.
I love it.
Okay?
Okay.
This should really be a bike-friendly town, and in some senses it is, but I've actually met people who've moved away from Santa Fe because they've almost been run over while being on their bicycle.
I won't ride a bike in Santa Fe.
I will, but on the sidewalk.
Yeah. No, it's an absolute
or a trail.
Disaster.
Or a trail. You know, I'll pull my car up to a trail, hope it doesn't get broken into. And
I know so many people who've been hit by motorists who are just going along, and it's not because the motorists are clueless, although some of them are clueless. And it's not because the bicyclists are doing anything wrong. It's because the bike lanes come and go in this way that is so messed up. And they're saying, well, you don't have to take the streets. You can take the trails. Well, you can't take the trails because you live on a street.
Right.
You have to get home. You can't just, like, sleep in the trail.
Right. And bike accidents are a lot like car accidents. They tend to happen close to home.
Indeed.
For pretty much that very reason. But anyway, there's going to be events on the plaza. If you want a schedule of events, go to IM, as in Mickey Mouse, BA, imba.com, and you can find a schedule of events. It runs, it continues Saturday, October 13th, and it's really happening at the Community Convention Center. I know there's going to be daily group rides and stuff like that. I don't think it really matters what the weather does. People are going to be out there on their bikes, so please watch out for them.
Please watch out for them and be inspired.
Yes, and be inspired. Enough about that. What else?
Santa Fe chapter of the Native Plant Society of New Mexico presents a free talk by Dr. Lois Ellen Frank, who's fabulous. The talk is entitled Wild and Cultivated Plants in Native American Cuisine. And that is Wednesday, the 17th of October at 6:30 at Morgan Hall in the New Mexico State Land Office at 310 Old Santa Fe Trail, free parking. You can call Tom Antonio at 690-5105 or email Tom at thomasantonio.org.
Cool.
He's fabulous, too.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great event.
It does sound like a great event. You know what also sounds great?
What?
And I've been to a couple of these. KSFR Music Cafe series. We've got jazz guitarist Joshua Breakstone with Earl Sauls on bass and John Tranacosta on drums at 7 p.m. tonight at Museum Hill Cafe. That's up on Milner Plaza in Camino Lejo. And you can call 428-1527 for more information, and proceeds benefit the radio station.
Excellent.
Support community radio, and go hear some jazz. And go eat some food. They've got some stuff on the menu that's sort of connected to this exhibit that's happening up on Museum Hill in December called Chocolate Mate y Mas. And Weldon, the owner, chef owner up there at Museum Hill Cafe, has created a bunch of really cool menu items tied to that event. So that's going to be fun.
Excellent.
Yeah. What else? Well, there's lots of music, lots of live music, but there are also some openings. Chalk Farm Gallery is welcoming Vladimir Kush, and he's got an exhibit called Matrix of Love, and there's a reception tonight at Chalk Farm. Which is at 729 Canyon Road from 6 to 8 p.m. We've got Red Dot Gallery has a show, Born Under What Star, a 1960s to present retrospective of mixed media works by Linda Vivona. And there's a reception from 5 to 8. There's 10 or 12 openings tonight.
How about the Madrid and Cerrillo Studio Tour?
Yay!
That's 29 local artists and 21 studios Saturday and Sunday this weekend from 10 to 5. And in and around Madrid and Cerrillos along Highway 14, you can go to MadridCerrillosStudioTour.com. You can call 470-1346.
Neato.
Neato. Have
you?
I haven't been on one of those studio tours for a while.
It's been a while. I went to the El Dorado Studio
They're
Tour
fun.
Years ago.
Yeah.
They are. I'm sort of particular about the one in El Dorado just because I like the way it's laid out. You know, it's very organized, which I appreciate.
Or Gallery Mosaic. What? Go ahead.
You go ahead.
Or Gallery Mosaic and other art opening. Aaron Orr, Janice Kostelnik, Friday, October. Oh, that's next week. Never mind.
Sorry. Okay. Hey, there's a great story in today's Pasa Tiempo about a show opening at Zaplin Lambert Gallery. Thomas Moran and Peter Moran, West by Southwest. Paintings, prints, works on paper. Then there's a reception and a presentation by David G. Wright, author of Domestic and Wild, Peter Moran's Images of America, from 5 to 7 p.m. tonight. Zeppelin Lambert Gallery is on Canyon Road at 651 Canyon Road. And there's a story today in Pasatiempo on page 30.
And I just got a napkin handed to me with the following written on it. A film called Full Signal is screening at Body tomorrow at 7 o'clock. For more information, 471-4194. And this is an award-winning documentary, and it's free for parents and some students. Can't read this very well. Anyway, it's at Gonzales Community no, it's at Body. It's at Body tomorrow. Okay.
Okay, we've got lots of theater. This is definitely the season for it. We've got Working, Santa Fe Reps Working musical at the Black Box Theater at Warehouse 21.
Yes, that's Studs Terkel.
We have Moon Over Buffalo, which
is... I've heard that's supposed to be fabulous.
Yes, and it's at... where is it? Oh, it's at the Santa Fe Playhouse, of course. It's Ken Ludwig's comedy. There's a story on page 44. We've got... Antonio, is it Granjero?
Mm-hmm.
And Andre Flamenco on Saturday night at 8 p.m. at the Maria Benitez Cabaret at the Lodge at Santa Fe.
And if you've never seen flamenco, or even if you've seen tons of flamenco, you got to go.
You got to go. You got to go.
You got to go.
Glamour and Gauze, Christus St. Vincent's Hospital Intensive Care and Critical Care Unit Expansion Fundraiser. And dinner. There's music by Solstice and stand-up comic Paula Poundstone.
Excellent.
Silent live auctions. Let's see. That's 6 p.m. on Saturday at Eldorado Hotel and Spa. And it's presented by the Santa Fe or by the St. Vincent's Hospital Foundation. Tickets are up there, but if you call 913-5209, you can find out more information about tickets.
And the Allure Lingerie Store is donating 20% of all bra sales to benefit the Cancer Foundation of New Mexico. They're at 328 Guadalupe, and you can get experienced fitters, and it's going to be going on for 4 weeks, ending on the 5th of November. For more information, 982-5747.
Hey, Eddie Daniels and Roger Kellaway. This is going to be a
cool concert.
The clarinetist and pianist play tribute to Duke Ellington and the benefit for the New Mexico Center for Therapeutic Writing and the Santa Fe Symphony Youth Music Program. And that's at 4 p.m. on Sunday at the Lenzic. And tickets are available at ticketsantafe.org. There's a great story in today's Pasa TFO on page 26 about that event.
And at Garcia Street Books tomorrow at 2 o'clock, Harlan Flint will discuss his new book, Hispano Homesteaders,
yes.
The Last New Mexico Pioneers from 1850 to 1910. And Garcia Street Books is terrific. They don't have, they've got events a little bit less frequently, but they're really good events, and it's a wonderful store, and I'm so glad that place is continuing on.
Yeah,
changed ownership a couple of times, but now it seems like it's stabilized and they're doing good work over there.
They're settling in and we're starting to see more events sort of being promoted and press releases sent to us, which we appreciate.
Yes, we appreciate when you send press releases, especially if they're not attachments.
You should just get a tattoo on your forehead that says...
Don't send me an attachment.
Press releases, no attachments. Right across your
forehead.
Don't
you feel that way?
I do feel that way. We constantly gripe about how much email we get at work. And, we try not to delete everything.
It's very hard. I have in my inbox, I've got 7,654 messages.
Oh, my goodness. You can't just delete them and start from scratch.
It's very hard.
I do that. Next time you take a vacation, next time you actually take a day off, just delete them.
It's just about time to go, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. I'm hearing the music. Rob DeWalt is with the Pasa Tiempo, Friday Arts Magazine, the Santa Fe New Mexican. He's with us just about every Friday, many Fridays. Speaking of the arts, Diane Karp will be here next week. Hey, you know what next week is?
What is next week?
The KSFR Fun Drive.
Really?
Yep, fun. F-U-N, fun drive. Drive for fun. No, we drive for funds.
You drive for funds on the radio.
Yep, and you know who I interviewed and whose interview I'm going to air on Monday?
Who?
Amy Goodman.
Ooh.
When Amy was here, I went to her hotel room at some playtime when she was actually awake and interviewed her and Dennis Moynihan about their new book, The Silenced Majority. So we're going to be talking about that on Tuesday morning.
Excellent.
It starts on Tuesday this year.
Tuesday.
Yep.
And goes till Friday?
About a week or so, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep. So you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and if you try to subscribe to the show on iTunes, can you email me and tell me if it works? Because somebody told me it didn't, and I've been trying to fix it. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafemc, and that does work. And at Twitter, which, should I even say it? Because I haven't tweeted for a long time. I'm trying to start tweeting again.
I'm a tweeting maniac.
You're a tweeting maniac. You should tweet for me. Anyway, we're at Radio Cafe MC. Stay tuned for the BBC local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, then jazz, Marilyn LeBlanc, you rock. Everybody at KSFR, you're fabulous. Let's go. Bye.
Ciao.